Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. I have the usual message this week through Sheldon Idle on behalf of the Galactic Federation. Not quite so many general news items, although there is quite a number about 9/11. It seems to be coming to the boil lately. And hopefully I can get through to my UFO section. For a change, I've got a couple of messages that have come through over the last month or so, which I will read, and I hope to close with perhaps a nice spiritual message. So I'll start with the one that's come through Sheldon Nidal, which reads, "We come before you with some good news. The grand plan is working beautifully. The prosperity program seem ready at last to be delivered. As we approach this most auspicious point in your history, it is necessary to tell you again to be committed fully to spreading these monies throughout the land. Our Earth allies and their many compadres have worked long and hard to bring this to fruition. Now it is your turn to carry out faithfully the detailed instructions that come with these monies. Never forget that these huge sums are the result of a long struggle which is finally coming to an end. These protracted and secret battles were fought to bring each of you a new world. In this new reality, a huge range of possibilities opens up for you. Remember, this time is one in which a multitude of changes began on your world. It is also the prelude to our arrival. You are about to learn many things about yourselves that have long been hidden by your former dark off-world masters. As these facts come to light, drink them in and learn from them. The wisdom that you are about to gain has come at a great price. You and your ancestors were the innocent victims of a massive onslaught of manipulated half-truths, misrepresentations, and all-out lies. Drummed into you as facts, these myths led you to accept notions that stole your freedom and embarked you on lives filled with false temptations. You were given to believe that abundance and, above all, what you were able to aspire to was severely limited. We have watched for millennia while those leading you down a sorry path kept up this nonsense, with predictable sad results. Ignorance, pestilence, and war were your lot in life, and millions died needlessly. Yet you never sought to rebel or to seek your divinely bestowed sovereignty. This pattern we plotted for millennia to correct, but only in the present did the means begin to develop within you to change this state with any chance of succeeding. Until now, defiance of the status quo was rare. Attempts to leaven the bow of your plight were met with incomprehension on your part and were promptly swallowed up in another wave of dark manipulation. We intend that the true story of your origins and history serve as a guide for what is to follow. Freedom and sovereignty are no longer to be mere words to you. As a living reality, they form the basis of wisdom. Normally, an evolutionary... Sorry, just lost my place there. Momentarily, just let me read back. Where am I? I'll retract to a sentence or two just before, saying that the wisdom that you are about to gain has come at a great price. You and your ancestors were the innocent victims of a massive onslaught of manipulative half-truths, misrepresentations, and all-out lies. Drummed into as facts, these myths led you to accept notions that stole your freedom and embarked you on lives filled with false temptations. You were given to believe that abundance and, above all, what you were able to aspire to was severely limited. We have watched for millennia whilst those leading you down many a sorry path kept up this nonsense with predictable, sad results. Ignorance, pestilence, and war were your lot in life, and millions died needlessly, yet you never sought to rebel or to seek your divinely bestowed sovereignty. This pattern we plotted for millennia, too correct, but only in the present did means begin to develop within you to challenge this state with any chance of succeeding. Until now, defiance of the status quo was rare. Attempts to leaven the dough of your plight were met with incomprehension on your part, and were promptly swallowed up in another wave of dark manipulation. We intend that the true story of your origins and history serve as a guide for what is to follow. Freedom and sovereignty are no longer to be mere words to you. As a living reality, they will form the basis of wisdom. Normally, an evolutionary leap of this magnitude occurs over a much longer period, and heaven and the creator of us all ruled otherwise. This vast expansion in your knowledge and consciousness capabilities is required for the next steps on your divine journey to your destiny. This destiny goes well beyond the limited potential of this realm. It involves opening yourselves almost overnight to the fact that what you think you know and believe is not even a mere drop in the immense bucket that is the sum total wisdom of heaven. Our mission is to guide you with love and divine light as you move in accelerating steps toward full consciousness. First contact is the means chosen by heaven for us to carry out our sacred assignments. Under the direction of heaven, we have learned a lot about how to advance you toward your divine goals. On the one hand, first contact is a massive operation involving our ship's personnel. On the other, it has become a mutually beneficial path that is teaching us all some valuable humility and a great deal about the benefits of focus and diligence in carrying out one's assignments. We are grateful to both our Earth allies and our heavenly hosts for this wisdom. Much is being learned each day about how to proceed. For example, how to most effectively capitalize on the resources available to us. As first contact approaches, we are delighted that this special duty is nearing its next phase. You can imagine how frustrating it is to be delegated the role of something that doesn't officially exist. Our huge fleet is not keen on always being cloaked or being seen by most as largely unnoticed additions in your night sky. We would much rather become openly reacquainted with you all. The time has come to drop in on you, as your saying goes, and pay you a visit. First contact is something we do not take lightly. Finishing this mission is highly important to you, manifesting your destiny, and thus our primary projects revolve around achieving this objective quickly. Much like we did in the past, aimed at speeding up contact. Your world, as it stands, is a scary place for many of you. They're very aware of the fact that first contact can transform your qualms into joyous relief. It is our greatest wish to spread joy throughout your realm, and our diplomats and liaison people work assiduously to bring this requisite state of well-being to all. They frequently declare that contact can come at a minute too soon, and this is why we are so happy about what is now happening. The dark's great big wall is breaking apart, and the implication of this brings us a warm inner glow of joyous anticipation. As the mighty well-oiled machine of the dark begins to fall apart, we are reminded of your comment about your world made by one of our first fleets from the scene, that while your potential was limitless, the dark's hold over you was prodigious. Shortly, this absence observation will be history. The light is shining upon you and within you. Great events are gathering momentum to manifest before you. As we cruise your skies in growing anticipation, we watch this build up and converse with our Earth allies about those extraordinary events they have now planned. Truly magical things are preparing to happen. For our part, we're stepping up our monitoring of you and preparing to record some historic developments. These are to herald the impending arrival of first contact. While all of this gathers pace, we carefully watch Mother Earth. Like you, She is most anxious to transform herself and her reality. To accommodate her, we need to keep up good communications between her spiritual hierarchy and our liaisons. It is important to maintain a balance between what Mother Earth intends and the time you need to be ready for first contact. An intrinsic component here is that she deeply wishes to be done with all this. She longs for the first contact to happen, so that she can at last allow the great outer changes to take place. Her constant refrain got Heaven's attention, and so this acceleration toward first contact has become the order of Heaven's day. This is another reason for you to rejoice and to be assured that something glorious is about to happen. To many of you, first contact is, as yet, merely a mental construct. To us, it is a sacred operation that we intend to complete. Many events involving stupendous amounts of money are almost upon you. And further, many individuals are engaged in very perilous activities that, in the twinkling of an eye, are to bring down two powerful governments. These separate thrusts are actually quite intertwined, and as we watch them unfold, we marvel at the degree of synchronicity involved. To a bystander, it looks as though Heaven has set in motion a series of random events, but then they collide and somehow produce the most advantageous results. In short, many seemingly unconnected components are coalescing to work a most divine miracle for us all. Today we receive what is happening on your world. We are pleased that you are very close to seeing the first dominoes fall. These events bring us closer to first contact and openly meeting all of you. We look forward to this day when such marvelous adventures can truly begin. And so ends Sheldon Nidal's message on behalf of the Galactic Federation. I now move on to the general news items, and as I mentioned at the start, there are quite a few relating to 9/11. And I suspect that the news on various aspects of the revelations that are coming out about 9/11 will continue to grow. This one that I received through an email, unfortunately, is not carrying a name, but the source originally came through pilots for 9/11 Truth. So presumably, if you're interested in following that up, you can go onto the website pilotsfor911truth.org and seek out some information. What it related to was the following, that a study of the black box data provided by the government to pilots for 9/11 Truth has confirmed the previous findings of scholars for 9/11 Truth that no Boeing 757 hit the Pentagon on 9/11. They said, quote, "We have had four lines of proof that no Boeing 757 hit the building," said James Fetzer, founder of Scholars for 9/11 Truth. And he said, "This new study by pilots drives another nail into a coffin of lies told the American people by the 9/11 Commission." The New Society, an international organization of pilots and aviation professionals, petitioned the National Transportation Safety Board under the Freedom of Information Act and obtained its 2002 report on American Airlines Flight 77, a Boeing 757, that according to the official account, hit the ground floor of the Pentagon after it skimmed over the lawn at 500 miles per hour plus, taking out a series of lampposts in the process. The pilots not only obtained the flight data, but created a computer animation to demonstrate what it told them. According to the report issued by pilots for 9/11 Truth, there are major differences between the official account and the flight data. And the following ones are listed here. Firstly, that the NTSB flight path animation, approach path and altitude, does not support official events. All altitude data shows the aircraft at least 300 feet too high to have struck the poles. The rate of descent data is in direct conflict with the aircraft being able to impact the light poles and be captured in the Department of Defense. And 5 frames of video of an object traveling nearby parallel with the Pentagon lawn. The record of data stops at least 1 second prior to the official impact time. And finally, if data trends are continued, the aircraft altitude would have been at least 100 feet too high to have hit the Pentagon. Here we are with some very interesting information that's come from some very professional people. From the rumour mill, these news reading room, that's a very good sign for general news. There's an article posted by Ray Ian on Tuesday this week, and it reads that Norman Mineta confirms that Dick Cheney ordered stand down on 9/11. Now in Dykes and Jones report on June the 26th that former Transportation Secretary Norman Mineta answered questions from members of 9/11truthseattle.org about his testimony before the 9/11 Commission report. Mineta says Vice President Cheney was absolutely already there when he arrived at approximately 9:25 a.m. in the Presidential Emergency Operations Center bunker on the morning of 9/11. Mineta seemed shocked to learn that the 9/11 Commission report claimed Cheney had not arrived there until 9:58, after the Pentagon had been hit. A report that Mineta definitely contradicted. Norman Mineta revealed that Lynn Cheney was also in the bunker already at the time of his arrival with a number of other staff. But there we are, that's revealed yet another bit of information that shows how false the Commissioner's report was. And if you want to read more on that one, you can go, beg your pardon, you can go to the website jonesreport.com and you'll find some articles there about it. I'll just have a sip of water before I get a bit of a croak here. Right, that feels better. Yet another article that's come to me via the email, which is where indeed most do come from, was an executive summary about what it calls the September 11th Treason Independent Prosecutor Act. And it comes via a media advisory. And the website is peaceinspace.blogs.com. It reads as follows that independent scientist Lauren Murray and international lawyer Alfred Weaver to call for International Citizens 9/11 War Crimes Tribunal. And the report comes from Vancouver, BC. And it reads as follows. It follows, in order to prosecute the 9/11 perpetrators under the 9/11 Independent Prosecutors Act, independent scientists, DU radiation expert Lauren Murray and international lawyer Alfred Weaver, call for the establishment of an International Citizens 9/11 War Crimes Tribunal in a public announcement which should have been made at the Vancouver 9/11 Truth Conference on Sunday the 24th of June. According to Murray and Weaver, 9/11 was a false flag operation by an international war crimes racketeering organization to provide a pretext to engage in genocidal and ecocidal depleted uranium bombing of Central Asia, that is Afghanistan and Iraq, in order to secure vast oil and uranium reserves, to roll out a terror-based national security state system worldwide, and to implement the final stages of a world depopulation policy. The International Citizens 9/11 War Crimes Tribunal would be convened under the jurisdiction of the Kuala Lumpur International War Crimes Tribunal, established in February 2007 as a permanent citizens tribunal by the Padana Global Peace Organization, chaired by Dr. Tun Mahathir bin Mohamed, former Prime Minister population. He was the first prominent world leader to take up the DU radiation issue. The purpose of the Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal was to criminalise war and to enforce the prohibitions of aggressive war and war crimes, which since 1945 have been prohibited by the Nuremberg Principles, through a permanent citizens' war crimes tribunal, and through the principles of natural law, restorative justice, and international law. Alfred Lampermont Weaver, JD, MED, an international lawyer, a member of the Pro Tem Committee for the Kuala Lumpur International War Crimes Tribunal, to be held in 2008, will make the announcement in an address to the Vancouver 9/11 Truth Conference on the issue of the International 9/11 Citizens War Crimes Tribunal and the 9/11 False Flag Operation as a war crime under international law. It leads on to say that the date and time of the 9/11 War Crimes Tribunal announcement for Sunday, June the 24th, 2007, is at the Maritime, or was at the Maritime Labour Centre in Vancouver, BC. And it reads that the purpose of the 9/11 War Crimes Tribunal is to prosecute the perpetrators of the False Flag Operation of September 11, 2001, under the pre-made fascist evidence assembled the 9/11 Independent Prosecutors Act for war crimes, including genocide, crimes against humanity, and crimes against peace, which is now classified as aggressive war, as set out in the Nuremberg Principles, the Geneva Conventions, and the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court. The 9/11 Independent Prosecutor Act appoints an independent prosecutor under the authority of Article 3, Paragraph 3 of the U.S. Constitution to prosecute treason against the United States of America by U.S. President George W. Bush and U.S. Vice President Richard B. Cheney, U.S. Secretary of Defense, and also Donald H. Rumsfeld, another John and Jane Doe's, for planning and carrying out the acts of treason as defined in that article, by conspiring to carry out and or causing to be carried out an armed attack upon these United States on September the 11th, 2001, as part of a false flag operation. And so it goes on. So you can look up their site, which I've given you the name of, if you want to read the full report. It's about, best part of about 4 pages long, and I will repeat for you that the site is peaceinspace.blogs.com. So here we have yet another legal action being taken against the people principally involved in that crime. FDNY's 9/11 Toll Shocker is an article written by Angela Montefinese and Susan Andelman, and the article came out on June 17, 2007. It came from a website called nypost.com, and it reads, about 5,000 active and retired FDNY employees are receiving medical treatment for injuries and illnesses connected to the World Trade Center attacks, according to a fire department document. It was quoted as saying that it is an absolutely staggering number, and it's a number that speaks volumes, said Andrew Carboy, a lawyer who represents more than 200 firefighters in a negligent suit against the city. And he said that's half of what the force was on 9/11. The FDNY had about 11,000 members on September the 11th, 2001. About 3,000 firefighters and EMS workers are receiving counselling for emotional problems. Another 1,500 are suffering respiratory ailments. There are also between 600 and 1,000 FDNY members, most of whom retired after 9/11, currently receiving prescription medication for a variety of illnesses from asthma and gastrointestinal disease to depression and anxiety. The shocking numbers were revealed in the June 8th FDNY request for proposals, launched in search of a vendor to manage the department's prescription drug program for 5 years. The department announced in February that it will use millions of dollars in federal funds to help subsidize medication for workers suffering from 9/11 related injuries, allowing them to obtain free prescription drugs. Although all 5,000 workers suffering from ailments who were all screened by the FDNI are eligible for the program, many are using workers' compensation or other forms of insurance to obtain the medication. And so that report goes on. There we are, we read something of the aftermath of 9/11. An article that came from another good site, the General News, is infowars.net. And this came out a week ago, and it refers to Iraq being forced to pay $10 billion per year for WMD searches. And apparently, there is still a US-led team searching for weapons of mass destruction, even after it emerged that such stockpiles do not exist. And this is according to a US congregational report. The Iraq Saddam governance and security report by the congressional report notes that the formal US-led WMD search ended December 2004. But the United Nations Monitoring Verification and Inspection Commission is still formally active. A draft resolution was only circulated this month to UNMOVIC's work, which costs the US $10 billion per year, drawn from Iraqi revenues. The report notes that the primary theme in the Bush administration's case for the need to confront Iraq was that Iraq posted a grave and gathering threat that should be blunted before threat became urgent. I think because of the typing error here, it should read that Iraq posed a grave and gathering threat. Anyway, I read on. President Bush, in an October 2002 speech in Cincinnati, asserted that Iraq had worked to rebuild its WMD programs in the nearly 4 years since UN weapons inspectors left Iraq, and had failed to comply with the 16 UN previous resolutions that demanded complete elimination of all Iraq's WMD programs. It also stated that Iraq could transfer its WMD to terrorists, particularly al-Qaeda, for use in potentially catastrophic attacks in the United States. Bush disregarded the critics who noted that under the US threat of retaliation, Iraq did not use WMD against US troops in the 1991 Gulf War. A comprehensive September 2004 report of the Iraq Survey Group, known as the Juelfa Report, found no WMD stockpiles or production, but said there was evidence that the regime retained the intention to reconstitute WMD programs in the future. There's a lot of difference, isn't there, between an intention and actually having them. The report that's come out, to which I can't give the source directly, is related to the last 4 years of war in Afghanistan and Iraq. And the unreported death toll of American military personnel is apparently in excess of 20,000. And the wounded who had to be evacuated from the combat areas for out of theater hospitals are in excess of 56,000. Oh, this is from a highly classified report sent by the Pentagon to the White House and is of a severely restricted circulation. But unfortunately, I can't tell you from which side it came because there might be more information about it. Now, moving on to a different subject at last. This is an update on the matter of Leo Bonta's petition for return of the funds, which he should have had, I think, is it 1 year ago, yeah. And the update from the 26th of June said, we have just been informed that the Cheney-controlled disinformation specialist placed the Greenspan drowning, which it said is confirmed, out there, in order to divert attention from, firstly, Ambassador Bonta's petition for a writ of mandamus, and secondly, from the number one official culprit who is raping the United States and putting it to its knees, namely the notorious former MK Ultra controller, the Nazi-style vice president of the United States, Richard B. Cheney himself, who is also George H.W. Bush's senior handler. He is believed to be running as much as $2 trillion offshore, stolen from the ambassador's funds. Cheney is further understood from many sources to have been hiding out so that subpoenas cannot be served on him and so that he can continue to perpetrate his routine financial high crimes and misdemeanors, allowing American and allied troops to die in Iraq for his own personal enrichment, while stashing his gargantuan fiat money financial accruals in Dubai, Abu Dhabi, and Brunei. Another reason he is hiding out is that he is believed, on very sound authority, to be concerned for his own safety. The new clean regime, which will follow the Wanted settlement, would deprive him of control and access to these illegally accrued funds. So his main personal preoccupation appears to be to try to preserve his corruptly acquired fiat money assets, an objective in which he will ultimately fail. And that comes from the site globalanalysis.net, which gives updates almost on a daily basis on this particular matter. As it develops, it could yet be one of many, I guess, that will pull the Bush administration down. The next one I have actually is a variation of the last article I've read out. This one comes from worldreports.org, and it's talking about the writ of mandamus, apparently, which is not a normal lawsuit, but presupposes a matter of the gravest consequence. The judge has latitude to proceed in such a manner as he sees fit. For instance, he has power to order the convening of a grand jury to compel each and every member of the Bush 2 cabinet to appear before him, including the president and vice president, to order their prompt compliance with the court's demands and to procure whatever remedies, however severe, that he may deem appropriate. Behind Paulson lurks President Bush Jr., who takes his instructions from George Bush Sr., who asserts to this day that the funds of which Sir Leo Wanta is the sole owner and principal, as is universally acknowledged, belong to him. The posting herewith of the text of this petition will ensure that Wanta Gate enters the mainstream public domain, whatever the US kleptocracy and its disinformation lackeys may purport to maintain. Separately, the editor has delivered into the hands of the relevant Wisconsin judge and court documents, proving that the editor himself has been scammed out of $35,000, which was repayable 730 days from the 9th of June 2005, and that the ambassador is the clear victim of the grandfather of all miscarriages of justice given the fabrications perpetrated by the criminal Wisconsin Department of Revenue, the detail of which the editor has conclusively proved from their own and associated documents. Text of the communications to the judge and the court will be posted on the website worldreports.org at the appropriate time. Footnote says, in the case of the ambassador, since the Wisconsin state taxation fabrications are proven, any remedy will surely need to include massive financial compensation covering the deprivation of Leo Wanta's freedom for 14 years. Appropriate annulment of the decisions of the Kangaroo Court, which are based upon perjured evidence, and such severe remedies as the court may consider appropriate given the proportions of this millennial scandal. But that is the end of a little bit more about that particular item. Now, but one more item in the general news, and this is something totally different to what you've been hearing. It's about a girl of two, a girl from Britain, the youngest ever female member of British Mensa. And she's Georgia Brown, who lives in Aldershot, Hampshire, and she astounded experts by scoring 152 in an IQ test, putting her in the top 2% of the population for her age. Psychologists who tested Georgia thought the toddler could have scored even higher, but needed a nap after 45 minutes of work. Her mother spotted that her daughter was a strikingly quick learner. She was crawling at 5 months, walking at 9 months, and by 18 months was having proper conversation. So the Brown family called in Professor Freeman from the Middlesex University to test her IQ levels in relation to the others of her age. And the professor said that she is 2 years, 9 months old, and she is able to answer questions 5 and 6 years old can't. The thing I found most striking, the professor said, was the copying of a circle. Most two-year-olds cannot do that, but she drew a perfect one. I was quite elated. I had come unexpectedly into the presence of something rather special. Then to confirm, Georgia was their youngest member at the moment and the youngest female member ever. Very well. This is an interesting little article for a change from the other type of news. Now, I'm going to go on to my UFO side now. Fortunately, for a change, I seem to have a little bit more time on my hands. And what's come together here are two messages from Andromedans. I received one on the, it goes back to the 5th of April, and the other one goes back to the 10th of August last year. And it's strange that for some reason they've come together through my older messages without my actually realising the link. I'll proceed with the older one first. These come from a website, incidentally, called abouttheheart.org. And the channeling is through Liat Nava Alia, who hails from Australia. The message was from Ascended Master Abu Myra, who welcomed Liat to the City of Light, Andromeda. It reads as follows. Greetings, beloved one. It is wonderful to be here with you today. There is much joy in this connection and much work to be done on this realm, on this planet. For this planet needs to ascend. You are someone known as the Grid Keeper. This purpose of channeling is new for you, but only new in that you use your voice. So we ask you not to be afraid, for the words that come through are for you, beloved one. I would interject there and say that Liat mentioned that the first part of the channeling was for her first audio, but she feels she would like to include that in the whole message, so I carry on as follows. And we see your dream of the new earth. We ask you to hold this dream in your wisdom and your vision. Do not let it go, for this new earth is a reality and will become so after the earth ascends. There are many prophecies about the ascension of the earth and what is going to happen, but we ask you to leave the fear and grace your delight. There will be times that you will doubt yourself and do not think that anything is right. We ask you not to. Your heart is in the right place. We've introduced ourselves today. We are the Ascended Masters from Andromeda, and you're quite correct, Ascended Master Abu Myra. We work with you from this realm within the City of Light, and we welcome you with open arms and joy and gladness, and receive you with as much. These cities of light above the earth, within the earth, will become greater known from now on, and there are many who are going to be chanting the cities of light apart from the city of light of Donegan. For there are many constellations in the galaxy, many. There are 144 cities of light within and above the earth, within the earth and above energetic structure. All these cities on the fifth dimension are easily accessible to you, but as you know, there is no time constraints or space constraints in the fifth dimension. We are free to travel anywhere, anytime. So the message actually read as follows, and this is with reference to Master Abu Myra. He teaches all those who come to the City of Light Andromeda and helps all those in the ascension process. And Liat was asked to put this on her website, and referring to people who visit the city for instruction in the ascension process, Abu Myra said they would have to raise their vibration, and so we give you a technique to put on your website to enable them to raise their vibrations. And part of this you have already done with the golden light, the ray of golden light that you channeled in Mozambique. Well, this is the ray of light that activates, cleans and clears the energetic structure and the Merkaba. This is the ray of light that the ascended masters reside in, the golden ray of light. At present you are able to access the cities of light because of your high vibration, but there are many others who are not able to do this, and they will have to work at raising their vibration so that they too may be able to visit the city of light. And we have given you the symbol of sacred geometry for being able to do this. So you have drawn it as you sat, and this will be the Star of David tetrahedron within a circle, two Y coins, one from each side, left and right, coming to the centre of this point and grounding deep into the heart of Mother Earth. This brings in the masculine and feminine to the heart centre and then grounds it deep into the heart of Mother Earth. And then by raising the pranic breath from the heart of Mother Earth into your heart and bringing in that pranic breath on the left and on the right through the pyramid structures from the sky and into the heart, and merging all in one, creating a flow, will raise the vibration, and you may carry this into the city of light with you. The doors will open. It goes on to say that there are many who reside in the city of light above and below the surface of earth, saying that they represent the star systems of the galaxy and are overseen by the Great White Brotherhood. Also saying that we work closely with the Galactic Federation, the Ashtar Command, the Councils of Lights from each different city, as each city has representative that sit on the Galactic Council of Light. And the Galactic Federation, for as you know, there is much activity around you and in the Earth. There are many visiting spaceships and starships around your planet awaiting, and there are many who have been channeling this information about something called first contact. But we advise you, beloved ones, to be patient, for there are many energies that need to be shifted and moved before first contact can become available. But know that it will happen, and it will happen shortly. In divine timing, we ask you to be patient and to hold the energy of peace within your heart, and continue to visit the City of Light, where we await you with warm welcome and much joy. The City of Andromeda is not very well known as a City of Light, so there are not many entities that come and visit from Earth. But as your website becomes more well known, we will be visited, and we are delighted at these visitations. As each of you arrive, we place around your neck a blue crystal, and this serves as a record of your comings and goings. For as before you arrive, we will know that you are arriving, for it will show up on our computers. And we're glad to work with you dearly, beloved ones. We have waited a long time for this contact, and this contact is joyful, and the ascension of the earth is definite. And will happen also in a short space of linear time. And this is the joyful feeling of anticipation that you're picking up within your spirit. For this is your soul presence, knowing and bringing that knowing in, and that knowledge of the joy that you feel from the fifth dimension. As you bring this in and ground this energy of joy within your heart, within your being, and others in and around your space, you'll feel this tremendous peace and joy and optimism. And so, beloved one, this is Ascended Abu Myra at your service, and I will be your divine guide within the city at any time. Your presence is greatly welcome as you are able to visit us. We have much knowledge to impart for humanity, as does the City of Light. Our way of life is not the same as you have on Earth. We'll help you create the communities of light that are necessary for the new Earth that is coming. Do not be afraid, beloved ones, for before, because there is much joy in this Earth ascension, and there is much peace and unconditional love. And if we can call this re-blueprinting, so that all of you who have attained ascension, your blueprints are and will be able to be used in different parts of the galaxy for creating a new way of life. For there has not always been peace in the galaxy, and there has been much warring and fighting over many different planets. But this will not continue, for peace on Earth and the peace of the galaxy rests on the peace of the Earth, which is now definite. So we are all here to aid you and help you with this Earth ascension, and with the processes that you are now going through. Finally, that message ends, there is never a time, beloved one, that you are not connected. There is never a time that you are never surrounded. There is never a time when we do not send our love. There is never a time that you are alone. There is always a time that you are here and there. We love you, and we are always with you. Well, that was a channeling there and now. I'm moving on to the second message. I think I might just be able to complete it before I have to conclude the program. If not, I'll stop at an appropriate place and I'll continue that next Friday. Now, this message, which came through on the 5th of April, said, welcome you Earth to the blue ray of ascended planets. We are the elders of the Council of Light of the city Andromeda. It refers to Liat, the Chandler, who has apparently in her work opened gateways and portals of light where none existed previously. And they say, we celebrate in chorus on all rays of light. We celebrate on all levels of vibration and colour. And we welcome you Earth to the realm of ascended planets of the blue ray. We know there are many on Earth that still need to awaken. Know on a high level that each has a chosen path. Each has the power to change that path. Each has the choice of free will. As many that want to ascend with this planet will do so. The cataclysmal event of first contact will change much on this planet. The dark will have to face their own inner light. It will become their own 11th hour. I would comment there that I think the reference to first contact being cataclysmal relates to the Earth changes which the Galactic Federation would say if I think too serious would take place when people have been removed from the dangerous areas. So I thought I'd add that. Finally, it says no one is excused from any work needed on the cell. Many light workers have felt they provide the ways of ascension. We advise you this is not advisable, and the inner work will have to be done, whether it be now, or with the first wave, second wave, or third wave. The more work done now, beloved ones, paves the way for a most glorious time, because those of you that ascend with the first wave will be instrumental in aiding humanity and working with us. This is a choice, beloved ones. Riding the wave will not aid Mother Earth in her quest, nor you, for it will hold you back. As you hold back, so it brings an old energy with it. All those who have been feeling that not enough has been accomplished or are frustrated, we advise you that you request us to remove those negative filters from your energy field, for they are no longer needed. This clearly places you firmly on the path to inner peace. Come and bring yourselves to the Temple of Light and Sound and stand in the sacred circle. Here your master guides, the masters of the City of Light, Andromeda, will join you in a sacred circle of support. Bring in the blue red light from the heavens and into your heart, and ground this ray into the heart of Mother Earth. Now request that the sacred geometry that you need for this path of ascension to be placed in your etheric field. We ask you now to expand your aura with no limit to the size. This aids your expanded energy field so that you cannot feel contained within the feeling of being trapped. The completion of this phase of Earth ascension is now continuing. The parallel energies presented on Earth, representing lower dimensional frequencies, and those of higher frequencies, will continue to cause disturbances in the chaos around you. By aligning yourselves, your emotional, mental, light body, and Merkaba to these higher frequencies, means that lower frequencies bypass you completely. This can only be attained with a constant attention to yourself. This is the reason we have guided you to continue the inner world, for it separates you into the realm of peace and ascension. This further frustrates all those operating from lower base frequencies. It aids them into looking deep within themselves to continue or to make the choice of light. This time now is truly the time of inner reflection. The rewards are more than you realize. We advise you not to sit back and ride the wave, for nothing comes from nothing, and everything is to be gained from the satisfaction of the job well done. We greet you from the city of light, Andromeda. We continue beaming vast rays of love and support. The Council of Nine, fondly bless you with love. And it concludes, this is the Ascended Master Abu Mahira and the Ascended Master Hara Maya. And that was channeled, I was confirmed, by Lit Nara Alia in Australia, Byron Bay. And if you go to the website, withouttheheart.org.za, you can read whatever is available there. Now, I'm just looking at something else I have here, but it's a little too long to read because of the limitation of the time I've got. So what I'm going to do now is to jump forward to my old UFO reports. That is the ones I've read in the last few meetings that go back to September, October 69, which specifically refer to healing from UFO. Now, there's one here that I think is better known than the others. That was related to Buck Nelson. He was a dweller in one of the USA's more rural areas, and he claimed that at 4 o'clock on the afternoon of July 30th, 1954, he was sitting listening to his radio when a high-pitched noise and what appeared to be a foreign speech jammed the program. While outside the house, his pony and dog were behaving excitedly and wildly. Stepping out, he held a disc at least 50 or so feet in diameter, suspended at a height of 100 to 200 feet above the house. He ran in and got his camera, by which time there were three discs in the sky, and as his published photograph allegedly shows, he managed to secure one picture showing two of them. Buck Nelson claimed that he subsequently met the occupants, normal-sized, big-boned, muscular men, when they landed a number of times on his secluded property, entered his house and even took him for a flight. What is, however, of more immediate interest for us in his story is the passage of his account in his first sighting of the disc. He said, the most extraordinary and frightening experience during this visit, however, came when I tried to signal with my flashlight to the disc that had come nearest to me. A bright beam of light, much hotter and brighter than the sun, was thrown onto me, jolting me with a current that threw me to the ground. Because I suffered from lumbago and neuritis, I was afraid to move and get up, and of getting another jolt. I just watched the disc until they disappeared. When I did get up, however, I was amazed to find the pains had gone and they haven't bothered me since. Now, apparently at that time, people were not giving a lot of credence to Buck Nelson's contactee story. And he did write a booklet about it, and he described his visitors as either Martians or Venusians. I don't think there's any basis to claim that, to be quite honest, unless they were Venusians. So, that's a very interesting contact. There clearly is a lot more to the story regarding what happened on board the ship and about his flight. And I have a feeling that somewhere I have seen a book advertised which gave the details of Black Nelson's story. Whether it's available now, I guess, is another matter. But that is where I will have to conclude. I've still got in that list of reports another four that cover hearing from UFOs. So they're very old ones, and I think they are very interesting indeed. Now, it's come to the end of the programme. I have to allow the last 5 minutes for whatever they do in the studio and to obviously run in the next programme. So, the time's gone very quickly. I hope you've enjoyed what I presented. I must thank you for being with me. I hope you'll be with me next week. May God bless you all. Thank you very much.